Title of the message this morning is, Where is your home? Where is your home? We look in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verses 8 through 10, then also verses 13 through 16. As I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about homecoming. If I were to ask you, where is your home? Where is your home? How would you reply? Maybe you could like give me an address. Maybe you mentioned a town, maybe some landmark. I want you to think about this morning, where is your home? And I want to ask you this question, where was your home 10 years ago? Maybe you'd say it was the same place. Or if I were to ask you, where was your home when you were 10 years old? Where was your home then? Now, there's a very tiny part of the population. I've known a few people who were born in the house. They grew up there. Maybe they purchased it from their parents, and so they still live in the house that they grew up in. I've known a few people that have experienced that. Has anybody here experienced that? Raise your hand. That's probably less than 1% of the population, I would say. When I think back on where I lived when I was 10 years old, it was on Farnham Street in Friendsville, not far from where our church is now. Getting ready to move over to Big Springs Ridge. And as you think about that, that's my answer. That's where I would be. But if I ask you, was it the same place as it is now? Or did it move? If you said that's where my home used to be, but now my home is here. Did it move or did it move a lot since then? If I think back to when I was 10 years old, I lived in Friendsville on Barnum Street. Since that time, I've lived a lot of different places. I lived in Hawaii for about a year. That was 5,000 miles away. I've now come back. I'm now living maybe, 5 or 6 miles away from where I lived when I was 10 years old. But it's amazing how those things change. And I've heard it said, as we're thinking about this morning, it's been said, you can never go home again. You can never go home again. What does that mean? You see, you can return to a certain location. And you can stand in the exact spot where you experienced something. Perhaps as a child. But it's all different. I could right now, I don't know how the current residents would feel, but I could get in my car and I could be in the driveway of my childhood home when I was 10 years old, when I was, I'm going to guess around fourth grade, and I could make the request and say, I used to live in this house, do you care if I come in and look around? Maybe they would call the cops, maybe they'd let me in, I don't know. But if they let me in, I could go right now, within the next 20 minutes, I could be standing in my bedroom when I was 10 years old. So I can go home again. That was my home when I was growing up as a kid. We lived there for probably, 4 or 5 years. I could go stand in the exact same location where I slept as a fourth grader, as a third and fourth grader, fifth grader. But it's all different. It's all different. So many things, so many aspects of life will have changed. So many experiences. We can return to that place, that location, but we can never return to that moment. You can never return to that experience. Everything is different. For that reason, that's why it's been said, you can never go home again. And what that statement is saying is really this, is that our world is constantly changing with time. Nothing is fixed or permanent. And that's not new. As I think about, just to kind of give you more of a picture of this, I could go sit, I think that porch swing is still there, where I used to sit when I was in about fourth grade. And I would play on it, I was told constantly that a porch swing is not a toy. It's not a swing like a playground. But we would swing on it. We broke it several times. But I can remember sitting on this porch swing out on the front porch. And I would sit there in fourth grade. And I can remember as vividly. It happened yesterday. Even though this was 28 years ago. As vividly as if it happened yesterday, I can picture myself sitting on that porch. on Friday afternoons, my parents were divorced. I would spend the week with my mom. I spent the weekends with my dad. And I can remember on Friday afternoon after school, around 4 o'clock, my dad would get off around 3 or 3:30 in Knoxville, and I would sit on that porch and I would look down the road for a blue S10 to come up the road. I can remember that as vividly as I can remember what I did yesterday. But if I were to go back there now, sit on that same porch, sit on that same swing, and look down that road, it's totally different. He's not coming. He died about 7 years later. It's just not the same. It can't be the same. It's a different world sitting there today than it was when I was 10 years old 28 years ago. That world's gone. That's what I'm saying when I say we can never return home again. That's the nature of our world. Constantly changing with time. You know, as you get older, these things, as a kid, I didn't think about that. I was thinking about, you know, what am I doing today, the next day? It was all about what was immediate. But as you get older, you begin to reminisce about these things and you begin to realize that what I'm saying is true. If you're here, if you're, you know, a kid, you're a teenager, this probably means nothing to you, but probably the older you are, the more you can relate with what I'm saying. You hear Bill say this all the time. We meet like this. This group, this specific group who's here right now, this morning, this homecoming group will never meet like this again. It will never be this group again. People will be added. People will be removed. The world will be differently in 2021 than it was in 2020. It's certainly true. 2019 was very different than what we're experiencing this morning, isn't it? We live in a constant state of flux. Our world is constantly changing with time. Nothing is fixed. Nothing is permanent. And that's not new. I want to look back as we read this in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look back 4,000 years ago to some events that were taking place. If you would, please stand in honor of God's Word as we read this together. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. The Bible says, "By faith, Abraham, who lived approximately 1,800 years before Christ, Christ having lived 2,000 years ago." So you're looking at 3,800 years ago, almost 4,000 years ago. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, called by God, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations." Now that's kind of a ridiculous... He looked for a city that had foundations. Don't all cities have foundations? What's that talking about? "He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." That's not just talking about a concrete foundation. That's not talking about a substructure of a city, of buildings that make up a city. What he was seeking was permanence. Permanence. In that sense, no cities have foundations. Permanence. We come on down to verses 13 through 16. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." They were looking for something that... I'll say this when we read verse 14. They were looking for something that is not here, and it cannot be found in this present world. Permanence. A permanent, unchanging home. A city with foundations. That's what these were seeking. Those who are described in Hebrews 11, Abraham kind of leading the charge on this, that's what they were seeking, was a permanent home, a city with foundations, a permanent dwelling, which cannot be found in this world. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Now listen to what this says next. "For He hath prepared for them a city." Do you know what that's saying? It exists. It exists. According to God, what Abraham was seeking exist. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for the power of Your Word. God, Your Word is just so different from anything in this world. And this morning's message is a vivid reminder of that. That God, there's a certain way that this world operates as we talk about the temperance of all things, how temporary they are, how fleeting they are, how they're ever-changing. But that's the nature of this world, and we've all experienced that. We know that to be true. But God, we recognize that Your Word is something really from another world. A world that is different from this world. A world in which there is permanence. There are things that will last literally forever, which cannot be said about anything in this physical world in which we live. And I pray that these things would get our attention this morning. That God, we would get correctly focused. It's so easy to get focused on things that do not matter and lose focus of things that do matter. So I pray, God, that You would help, that this message this morning would put our mind upon that permanent home that's been promised, that's been assured by You that it exists. And it can be possessed. It can be achieved, just as Your Word says and as Your Word gives direction. So Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, for the hope that we have through Your Word and through Your promises. And we want to look more closely at those here this morning. We thank You for this time. And God, we just pray Your blessing upon it now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So as we look at this passage in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is like a historian who's writing about events 2,000 years earlier with this man named Abraham. But very quickly this morning, I know our time is limited, and so very quickly this morning, I want us to fast forward. So if our mind goes back 2,000 years to the time of Abraham, who God comes to him and He makes this promise to Abraham. He calls Abraham. Abraham accepts this call and he leaves. And this has practical implications. When Abraham received this call and he heeded this call, he then traveled 1,000 miles at risk of his life to go to this promised land that God had called him to. And as the writer of Hebrews, like a historian, is writing about these events that happened 2,000 years earlier with Abraham, we now fast forward 2,000 years to 30 AD to a conversation that was had one night in Jerusalem. And I want to see if you notice a theme here. Listen to John 14, verses 1 through 3. Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." He just told His disciples He's going away. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into Myself, that where I am, you may be also." I'll say this again. It exists. This really exists. Jesus Christ, the One who came down from heaven, confirms it. And He promises it to those who will believe upon Him. Just like Abraham did. You see, Christ was the seed of Abraham. The full fulfillment of that promise about the seed of Abraham, that through this seed that his family or his nation would be multiplied like the stars of the heavens, wasn't just fulfilled in Isaac, it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the seed of Abraham to whom those promises were made. You see here that Christ is referring back to this place, this, we see it here, My Father's house, in which are many mansions or many rooms. This is what Christ promised the night before He was crucified, the night before He, as He was telling His disciples, before He went away. We've looked back at this morning historically, at the distant past. We look at what Christ has said here 2,000 years ago. We look at what was promised to Abraham 4,000 years ago. Now I want to really quickly fast forward to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And again, see if you notice a theme here. This is John, the Apostle John writing, and he says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, that the dwelling of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is that city that Abraham was looking for. This is that place that Christ promised and confirmed that it does exist. The one who stepped into this creation, one who stepped down from heaven and came into this place, who knows with a certainty, who knows with assurance that this place exists, He confirms it and He promises it to those who believe upon Him. This is the place that Christ was referring to in John 14. This is the place that Abraham was looking for. Now, as I think about that, I think about us sitting here this morning. We look in the distant past, we see the promises that Christ made and the promises that Christ fulfilled in His life. We see what Abraham experienced 4,000 years ago. We're looking into the future to the new city, this new Jerusalem. That's who knows how distant into the future. It could be tomorrow. It could be a million years from now. It's in the future that John is describing, that John saw. As we think about the past, we think about the future. What I want us to think about as we get ready to close here in just a minute this morning is what about the present? What about this morning? So here we are. We live in between these promises that were made. And we see that the fulfillment of this revealed through this experience of John, this vision that John sees of the future. And we live right here in the present. Since the promises have been made, but before that we see the complete fulfillment. And in light of that, where do we sit this morning? What about the present? What about this morning? I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Listen to what this says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, has brought us to life together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I will draw your attention to verse 6, to what it says and what it doesn't say. It does not say that we will be seated together with Christ in heavenly places. You'll notice in verse 6 it says, we have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I point that out because that's what's happening right now. This is happening now. This is a present reality. As we think about this morning, the kingdom of God, you heard throughout Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist preached it, Christ preached it, and said the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come when Christ showed up. The kingdom of God, when Christ came into this world, the kingdom of God invaded this world and has been established and spreading ever since Christ came. I'll put it this way. I have a president, I have political leaders, but I also have a king. Christ is my king. I'm not saying Christ will be my king one day. As Revelation 21 happens, then Christ will be my king. No, Christ is my king. Today, He has a kingdom. The king has come. The kingdom has been established and it has been spreading ever since the king showed up. Christ is my king now. My full allegiance is to Him this morning. My home is established forever in Him and with Him. I have a permanent home. And that's all true this morning. Not in some distant future, that's all true this morning. It is a present reality. And I can tell you this, there are subjects of Christ, subjects of Christ's permanent kingdom all over this world this morning. And I say subjects, but really they're co-reigning with Christ. As Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, interceding for us, that we are sitting in heavenly places with Him. We are the children of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ this morning. That's our status right now. And I can tell you that there are subjects of Christ, present or permanent kingdom, all over this world this morning. You think about, I spoke yesterday with Anil in India. He's part of the kingdom. I relate more closely with him than I do some members of my family, because we're part of the same kingdom. We're part of the same family. We have the same home. I've seen this in India. I've seen this in Haiti. I've seen this in Mongolia, in West Africa. We hear reports of this all over the world, places like Papua New Guinea, the most remote places in the world. The kingdom of God is there. Those who are part of that kingdom, the kingdom of God is spreading all over this world. The kingdom of Christ, Christ is reigning right now. He's seated upon a throne at the right hand of God. That's a present reality. So we think about these past promises that were made to Abraham and how they've already started their fulfillment, and there are future fulfillments that are so exciting as we think about whenever this city comes down, when this kingdom fully comes into its realization. But the things I'm talking about right now are present realities, that right now we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. I've said this before, I'll never be more of a child of God than I am right now. A million years from now, or 10 years from now, whenever it may be, when that new Jerusalem comes down, I will be equally a child of God then as I am right now. I will equally also be an heir and a joint heir with Christ then as I am now. I will be reigning with Christ then as I'm reigning with Christ now. These are exciting things. Amen. Don't let this appearance fool you. A bunch of common people sitting in a pavilion out in the middle of a field with a bunch of empty chairs around them. Don't let this deceive you. What's happening here today is incredibly important. There's a kingdom of which we're a part right now. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places this moment. This is a present reality. Right now, I have a permanent home. All those childhood homes can fade away because I have a permanent home. Where I'm living at now is not my home. Where I'm standing at now is not my home. Friendsville is not my home. America is not my home. This world is not my home. But I do have a home. Christ said He's preparing me. I've not seen it. I thought about quoting Philippians chapter 3. It's such a great example. You see that they write, and Paul writes in Philippians 3 to the Philippians, and it really hits home for them, because he said that he's telling them that your conversation is in heaven. Your really the best translation is to say your citizenship is in heaven right now. Your citizenship is in heaven. The Philippians understood that. You see, the Philippians, the city of Philippi was a privileged city, because if you lived in Philippi, even though you were hundreds of miles away from Rome, you were considered a Roman citizen. There were people who were considered Roman citizens living in Philippi, in Macedonia, who had never even been to the city of Rome, but they were citizens of Rome, and they had the privilege and they had the authority as a citizen of Rome. Did you know the Roman Empire would go to war over one Roman citizen? If a Roman citizen was abroad in some other town or region or kingdom, and you attacked a Roman citizen, you were attacking the Roman Empire, and you might have the entire Roman army show up the next day to fight a war with you. That's the kind of authority a Roman citizen had. That's why Paul tells the Philippians, your citizenship is in heaven. When you mess with one of God's children, the infinite God may show up at your door the next day. That's the kind of power we have today. Not in the distant future. Not in that eternal kingdom to come. That's the power we have today. That's where we sit today. So as I think about all this, I think about that historical past, I think about the things that Abraham experienced, the things that Christ promised, the things that John saw, and I think about where we're sitting at this morning. How do we apply all this? How do we apply it? And for that, last of all, we'll look at Colossians chapter 1. This tells us how to apply these things. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Listen to what this says. If ye then be risen with Christ, past tense, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Where's your heart at? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's our instructions in light of everything I'm saying this morning. As I said earlier, this world is not my home, and I'm not going to live as if it is. My affections are set on eternal things above, on my permanent, fixed, unchanging home. My affections are set upon Christ. We look at life. All relationships, all personal interactions. We look at every relationship you have, whether it is your immediate family, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, whether it's your mother and father, your siblings, whether it's people that you work with, whether it's fellow church members, classmates. We look at all of our relationships, our personal interactions, with their eternal implications. When I'm talking to someone at work, in my mind I'm looking at them saying, they will spend eternity somewhere. This person with whom I'm speaking, the people I'm looking at right now, you will never go out of existence. This pavilion, this property, this country, all these other things are temporal. I'm looking at people that will never go out of existence. Every time I look at someone, I'm looking at someone who will never go out of existence. They're eternal. We think about the eternal implications of every relationship, every conversation. We do not look at the temporal implications. We do not take advantage of people to get what I want in the short term because it will destroy things in the long term. And that's the way we think. How we do our work. When you're doing your job, are you doing it for a paycheck or are you doing it for Christ? And it's reflected in how you do it. Nobody knows. Nobody will see it. You don't care. Christ sees it. You know somebody does see it. How we do our work, how we do our schoolwork, how we conduct ourselves in day-to-day life, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we plan, all of this is impacted by how we view eternity, how we view where our home will be, whether we think temporally or eternally. Where is my home? My home is with Christ. Can you say the same? As I think about that, my home is with Christ, and I am preparing every day for my homecoming. This isn't the homecoming. We celebrate homecoming as a church, but this is not my homecoming. I will only experience one, and I'm preparing every day for my homecoming because my home is with Christ. I think about two Sundays ago. Do you know what was right here? A casket. And in it was a 28-year-old man. I was sitting right there. I was witnessing this, watching this, taking it all in. As I've told people, I'll think about this for the next 6 months. Ray Lee Downey's funeral was held here 2 weeks ago. As I'm sitting there, let me assure you of what I'm thinking about. You know what I'm thinking about? My death. You ever think about your death? I think about my death every single second. I'm constantly thinking about my death. I think and make decisions about, will it matter when I'm dead? Because if it won't matter when I'm dead, it doesn't matter now. Because that's coming. I think about death constantly. Not only do I think about death, my death constantly, I am preparing for my death constantly. I will not be caught off guard. Christ has told me. Christ has told me everything I need to know. If He had whispered it in my ear, it could not have been more clear. He has told me exactly how to prepare. And I'm listening to everything that He says. I'm not going to be caught off guard by my death. I'm looking for that day. And I'm wanting to live every day of my life in preparation for that day, because I recognize this: my death is not just my death, it's my home going. It's my homecoming. Because then I'll be with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't see death as death. I see it as a portal. I see it as a door. And that door's closed right now. But in the not too distant future, probably before that new city comes down that John saw, I hope and pray Christ comes back today. Nothing would thrill me more. But probably before that happens, I'm going to experience death. And that door that is closed right now is going to swing open. I'm going to walk through it. And it's going to close behind me. And that's home. And it's permanent. And it's fixed. And nothing can change it. It's not going to move on me. Amen. It's not going to change. It's permanent. And it's fixed. And that's all I think about. I look at that door every day. How I interact with other people. How I spend time with other people. Because you see, they're going to walk through their door. And I'm going to walk through my door. My car ain't going through. My house isn't going through. My annual income doesn't go through. None of that stuff goes through. Unless maybe I invested in people. Unless I use my car for His glory. I use my home for His glory. I use my annual income for His glory. Because that's how you throw things over the wall. Where they're waiting on you there. Did Christ not tell us? He told us exactly what to do. He told me, Jordan, lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. Where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. You know what that's saying? Where things don't change. Where the ground doesn't shift underneath you. Just as you drive your stake in, then it moves. He's saying, lay up your treasure in heaven. How do you do that? There's only one thing I know of in this world that's going over, and that's people. People. Why was I talking on the phone to a man 9,000 miles away? People. People matter. People 9,000 miles away who speak a different language, coming from a different culture, who I have never met and never will meet, they matter. Because this matters. There is a permanent home. There is an eternal home. And I want them to have an eternal home too. Christ has told me, prepare for that day. Prepare for that home and help others to get ready to go to that eternal home. Do you ever think about your death? I encourage you, think about it constantly. Because it's coming. Folks, I'm going home. I don't know when. I'm going home. I can't wait. But I want to be faithful every step. If I really believe that, it will affect what I do between now and when I go home. If it doesn't affect what, if it does not affect every decision, every thought, every dollar I spend, if it doesn't affect the way I live my life now, then I don't really think I'm going home. I think I'm going home. And you're going to see that in my life, where I'm thinking about eternal things, not temporal things. I'm going to ask Bill if he would to come as we close with that this morning.